This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
From one stage in my spiritual growth to the next, there seemed to be this very strong resistance. Eventually, when I would burst out at the other end, I'll burst out into glory. It will be another level of grace. But to get to that level of grace, even though I'll be looking at it, it will be so close, I could sometimes almost touch it, there seems to be this strong resistance. So I had to ask the Lord one day. I said, "Hey, don't make things difficult for me. I'm on your side. We are parties. If you make things difficult for me, you make it difficult for me to preach the gospel. If I say, I want to move to this city, I want to take the gospel to this city, and the people say, the enemy will resist, and I discount that as nonsense. If I'm with God, there is no resistance. Moses did not fear Egypt. He didn't fear Pharaoh. As long as God was with him, it was fine. You are with me. You are my side. How then do I have to struggle?" And then the Lord said to me, he said, "Pay attention to a sight I will show you. Pay attention to a sight I will show you." And then maybe 2 or 3 days later, I saw a vision of a woman giving birth to a baby. And I saw not the woman's pain, but the baby's struggle. The baby wanted to come out. The mother wanted the baby to come out. But the same nature that prevented the baby from coming out too early or becoming miscarried or becoming a stillbirth, that same nature that protected it for 9 months is the same nature that the baby was struggling against. Which means that nature was not created to kill the baby or to make the life of the baby difficult. It was actually created to preserve the baby and also to help the mother cope with carrying such a big bundle in her tummy. But now the baby must learn how to ease himself, not struggle, not trash, how to ease himself out of that womb into the world. The mother would push, but the baby must learn to breathe. The baby must learn, even as young as the baby was, one of the fundamental lessons a baby learns from the womb is how to breathe, how to manage that stress. How not to be broken in the process. How not to lose an arm, lose a leg, or die, or suffocate. How to hold his breath, how to breathe, how to control his breathing, how to time. As young as the baby that's just coming out of the womb was, these were natural, instinctive learning that the baby must go through in order to pass that first test, scaling through the bridge between being a fetus and coming out to live a full life. So the Lord showed me this baby coming out of the womb, and the baby was struggling. And the baby was struggling. And the Lord said, "Why do you think that baby is struggling?" I said, wanted to come out. The Lord said, let me show you another one. Then I saw another baby. This time, I don't want to mention the sex, so nobody would think it's a sex thing. But this time, another gender. And this one was graceful. The mother was ready. And as she was pushing, the baby basically just slid that through with very little struggle. baby was out. Then the Lord said, what is the difference between the first baby and the second baby? Was it the size of the head? I said, no. Was it the size of the body? I said, no. He said, what is the difference? I said, one trusted the process. Knew that it wasn't going to be easy, but just she was graceful. Was in the womb, was ready, was timing. When the opening came, was just, I saw it as a vision, not in TV. And the Lord told me, said, the first picture is a picture of a believer who laments. The Lord said, you lament a lot. He was talking to me. You believe that you are always better than where you are. That is not a wrong belief. But your words are entitled words, not affirming words. You believe that things are supposed to be better for you, which is fine. But when you want to speak, you will say, why am I here? God, I shouldn't be here. Why are you making me suffer like this? And I'm serving you. He said, that is lamentation. He said, that is the picture of the first child. A child of lamentation is a child that will struggle. He said, look at the second child. The second child knew clearly that she was supposed to be out of the womb. That the time has come for her to come out of the womb. All he did was wait for the opening and slid her through gracefully. He said, you must learn to become like this second child, a child of praise, a child that sees that I did not contrive against him, but that I had put all processes in place to bring him out into a season of grace. You must reprogram your mind. You must teach yourself. You must train yourself not to be a child of lamentation. Your mouth must not be full of complaints and bitterness and anger and the words that seem to suggest that I stand against you or I contrive against you or I am I'm your enemy. I said, you are right. We are both on the same side. I am your vanguard. I lead, you follow. But how would you follow the leading of one who you constantly bicker and gripe against? It shows you don't have absolute trust in me. You put too much stock in your emotion and your entitled mindset that because you are on my side, you do not have a part to play in what you are going to become. Then fill your mouth with laughter. Trust me. When the timing comes, you will slay that through. I was like, wow. Okay. I have to consciously change how I talk, how I think. And you have to understand, in the middle of all these things, like I said, always I'll have a struggle. And the struggle would mean my mate will move ahead. And as intelligent as I believe I was, and as I wouldn't know why, you know, there was a season of my life when I lost almost 8 years. Eight. Just imagine. Like, I couldn't even account for how it happened. Most of it was my making. But of course, I would blame God. I would say, you are the one. Even though I was not making all the wrong decisions. But do you know that after the Lord taught me that I should no longer lament, I should not say, look at my younger brother. He graduated from the university ahead of me. Look at this person. When we were both in school, I used to be more intelligent. Now he's working in a bank. I remember one day I was at a keja trying to get a keke. And then I saw this lady when I was in the university. She used to come to me whenever she had issues with academics. She would come, she would. So she was in the staff bus of a very popular bank. And when she saw me, she wound up and she shouted my name on the streets. And I felt so ashamed. I was like, oh my God, see her in AC, but and look at me. I felt, because again, not looking at God, but looking at all the surrounding things, I felt like, oh my God, I'm not catching up. Everybody's ahead. Oh, I should bury my head in shame. Oh, I should cry. And those days, I used to just baby out or to throw tantrums. I would just go into my room, lock the door. I would call up. I would cry. And then I would be telling God all the things I've done for him. I would say, see, these people that you are blessing, they didn't do as much for you as I'm doing. I've never raised dead before. I've raised the dead. Do you remember that guy that I raised? I will be reminding God. I will say, do you remember that girl, Timiladi, in NLT2? When it was the day that I healed her, why are you not there? This girl, did she raise? Why is she not better? I used to talk like that. I will tell God, I will say, see, that the way he said I should drive all the way to Ilori. I drove. I left everything behind to go and pray for that woman. And why are you not there? Hey, so why are you blessing other people more than me? All I have are stories. I do not have the blessing. Why? Why would I be sharing the testimonies of grace, the testimonies of my faithfulness, the testimonies of my walk with you? And yet, people will not see the evidence in my life. That used to be my go-to way of thinking. And I turn it into a habit that almost every time, even when I pray, it is in my prayer. It is part of the way I word my prayers to God. I will say, Father, do not let all those who benefited of your glory in my life scorn me for being a failure. Because many of the people that I would pray for, they will go on to become great people. I don't want them to look back in their rearview mirror and still see me in one spot. And I don't want them to come and pity me and be the one to be giving me 10 or 20 naira. But see the way you are making my life look like now. See the way you are making my... So I used to talk like that. And I would think it is prayer. And then I used to read the book of Lamentation a lot. I used to compare myself. I would say, I'm not the first. I'm not the first. I'm like Jeremiah. God is deliberately punishing me. He's not making my life good. And then when he taught me that lesson, that this is not your mindset. This is not how you should process this. This is my grace that is at work in you. You are not supposed to throw it in my face. You are not supposed to be recounting to me that you are good and that I'm wicked. You are not supposed to act as if I'm treating you like a slave, that I'm a user. I'm using you, but I'm not blessing you. No, your mindset should be a mindset of praise and grace. When your season comes, you miss it because your mouth is full of lamentation. Praise takes you up. Lamentation brings you down. Lamentation makes you feel as if God is owing you. Praise makes you feel like you owe all things to God. Lamentation is the opposite of praise. When people lament, they tend to tell God, I deserve better than what you are doing to me. When people praise God, they tend to tell God, you deserve more than I can ever do for you. Both of them are just a mind shift away. A man who has lost all things can sing, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea's billows fall, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That song says, no matter what he was feeling, no matter what he was going through, and that man just lost his wife and children in a shipwreck. And the song that came to him, he didn't say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to feel. No, he said, thou hast taught me to say. See, regardless of how you feel, there is a way we are taught to speak. There's the way we are taught to express our words. There's the way we are taught to express our innermost feelings. Even though we may be going through turmoil, pain, we are waiting and the answers are not coming. We are trusting, we are giving, we are doing the work, and it seems as if God is so slow. It doesn't change anything if you curse. You see, all the friends of Job that told Job to curse God, that told God it was his fault, that brought him songs of lamentation. At the end of the day, Job was the one who blessed them. The one that lost all things was the one that God said can bless them. Do you know why? Because while they came, even though they had some good things, and they were thinking that now we are better off than Job, Job has lost everything, so it was gone down to ground zero. And his wife said, in her feelings, she said, you're this man, you're this man. And she was talking from her feelings. And Job was like, no, foolish woman. See, foolish woman, don't put me in trouble. What you are saying, even though what you are feeling is valid, what you are saying with your mouth will only dig us deeper in this hole. And when Job's friends came and they were trying to talk to him and they were saying, this must be your fault. You must have done something. You must have disobeyed God somehow. No, God must have been punishing you for his sin. No, Job, you just admit it. God cannot be this wicked. You see how Job weaved through all their words. He says, you have broken me in many places with your words. You have hurt my soul with your words. He said, but though he may slay me, yet will I praise him. You see, so Job understood that whatever you are going through at that moment is not as important as what you say in that time. Demons may be surrounding a person, hoping to feast on his bones, hoping to pick his carcass to pieces. If he begins to lament, it gives them an opportunity to chop him the more. But when he begins to praise, they have to move back. For they cannot take the offering of praise. They delight in bitterness and lamentation, but they cannot feed off praise. For they belong to the darkness. But the angels of light are the ones that carry the offering of praise to the throne. They will come. You just have to be mindful. Since that time, I've come out in many good places. I changed how I process whatever I'm going through. To the point where sometimes I'll be going through a season of great turmoil, serious turmoil. And if I didn't tell anyone, they wouldn't know. I would do my work without breaking the stride. I would demonstrate it without feeling any sense of entitlement. I saw that it's a privilege to be a servant of God. I saw that it is a blessing to be able to see that I put my faith in Jesus is my anchor to the ground. It is a privilege enough. Even if that's all the privilege, that's okay. But in going through those seasons, I realized that sometimes, because I do not dwell on how I feel or how I felt, I do not make a word out of it. I stopped for years sitting down, locking my door and yabbing God or talking to God as if he didn't show up when I needed him. Meanwhile, I always show up whenever he needed me. I had stopped talking to God like that. I had come to accept that I am an intricate part of his reality and that he's deliberately using my life to demonstrate his glory for the world to see. One day, there was a strong decision I had to make, or that was made for me. It was a decision I knew was coming, but it was made for me. And when this one was made, I think I was abroad when this one was made. And the first thing that came to my mind was, my God. And then I had to find my way back to Nigeria. When I got to Nigeria, I wanted to go back to that way of talking. I wanted to tell God that, why would you let this happen? While I was working for you, why are you not the one that sent me to go and do programs in this place? And then you allowed this to happen at my backyard in my own house. I was about to go there. And then suddenly I stopped myself. I just stopped myself. I said, no, you are not going there. You are not going to go back to those days. You have been taught better. You have been taught better. So I began to give glory to God. The Lord said to me, do you know why I raised different kind of prophets in the scriptures to come before your time? He said, why didn't I just raise Abraham and then Jesus? Why do you have so many diverse kinds? He said, look at all of them. Look at every one of them. See the things I told them to do. So that now, whenever you are going through any season, you can look at them as an example. He said, I told Gomer, I told Uzziah to marry a prostitute. He said, do you think I do not know the meaning of shame? I told Isaiah. I told him to basically marry off his daughter to a king and didn't give them children. You know, the two of Hephzibah. And he showed me. He said, I do these things for your sake, so that when your season comes, you will not feel alone. You will understand that all men go through their season in their walk with me. Knowing me is knowing life. And knowing me is also living life, in which you will have to defeat the natural in order to walk in the supernatural. It is not a mean feat. It is a journey, and you have to pass through so many stops on the way. Glory to God. I'm all open to learning. One of the things I do not do, however, is learn to write down and not to leave. A lot of people would write a lot of things down. It is the Western way of teaching. It wasn't the traditional way of teaching. The disciples of Jesus didn't have notes. All they had was the master. They watched him, they listened to him, and they do as he did, and they produce results. So a lot of Christians I know learn things and they write them in books. And then they continue to live their life the way they were living their life before, putting big, useful knowledge in books, but not in their life. Not in their head, not in their values. That's not how I learn. When I listen to the Lord, I adjust my course. When I listen to the Lord, I quickly try to make sure that I follow the bearing, the course bearing that the Lord will give me. Adjust your bearing to latitude 1, 2, 3, longitude 2, 3, 4. I will adjust immediately. And I try not to go back to my old way of doing things, because I know there is no adventure in the past. There is only adventure in the future. And I always try to set my course for that glorious future. I'm asking you to do the same. In your season, in this season, no matter what you're going through, I'm asking you not to lament. I'm asking you to follow what you are taught to say and not what you are feeling. The world will say, no, let him express his feeling. Let them express their feeling. It is their way. The world does not have a way forward for anybody. Express your feeling. You say, it's a trauma. It's this, it's that. You can still talk right, even as you heal from trauma. In fact, talking right, talking yourself out of trouble is more important than thrashing the water. When you find yourself in a deep water, and maybe you are in a swimming pool and you are drowning, rather than just be spitting the water, you can just jump out and shout, help! You see, you can talk your way out of the water and not drown in the water. You don't have to do much when you can just call for help. But it is better to just give praise to God. Don't forget today's class, because it is important. It makes the difference between staying in one place for a long time and gaining speed. Do you know the Lord gave me back those 8 years in 10 months? 8 years that I was behind everybody, that I would calculate and say, see where these guys are now. See where I am. I'm lagging behind for 8 years. And I documented all the years that I spent at home writing JAMB, all the years that I wasted after my first admission and I flunked out of school. I calculated everything. I said, I'm 8 years behind everybody. And suddenly a day came. And myself and all my schoolmates were having like a reunion. And I saw that I was miles ahead of them. How it happened, I didn't know. It just so happened that I became the poster boy for my set in the university. I think I became the one that everybody is saying, I wondered how that happened. How? You know? But it was because I moved from lamentation to praise. And it helped to change my mindset. My confession, I never stopped now to look at, where did I get it wrong? Never. I never got it wrong. You see that kind of statement? Yeah, I never. Why? Because the day I came into Christ, it became the Lord, guardian, the driver, the shepherd of my soul. I'm a sheep. He's a shepherd. If I say I got it wrong, it would literally mean he misled me. No. In him, I move. I live and move and have my being. I dwell in him. I am on the right course. He is my shepherd. He is my guide and my guiding light. So I didn't get it wrong. Even when as a sheep I make missteps, he will carry me on his shoulder. Sometimes he will use his rod to guide me. Sometimes he will use his buckle. But whatever he does was for my good. And I've come to acknowledge that. I've put my faith in him. He leads, I follow, and I praise him for that. Because he took it out of my hand. The decision-making process, all the pros and cons, calculating and tabulating, he took it out of my hand. It would just tell me where to go. And as long as I follow, I find grace and joy. For those who are listening to me today, I bless you. I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you, that your mouth is full of praise, and that you enjoy the pleasures that are forever in the presence of your Father. I declare that your journeys into this week is safe, and that you begin to experience the abundant power of God like never before. I declare that your hope is not cut. Rather, it endures and gives you manifestation. I bless you. I declare that your hands are blessed. All those who will come across you are blessed. Those who will lay your hands upon you will be blessed. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will fulfill the days of Christ, for you are a savior out of Zion. God bless you and have a wonderful week ahead. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.